And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him into prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him after Easter, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. Look at this line here. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Now, we're going to read a little more today, but that's our text, verse number 5. And so look at verse number 6. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street. Forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. And this is where we were camping out for a couple or a few weeks. The Bible says, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then they said, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with a hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go show these things unto James and to the brethren." And he departed and went into another place. Now, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. And of course, we've been talking about the practice of prayer in the early church and several things that we learned here. And we'll just go through these things again real quickly. This morning, we talked about, of course, the importance of corporate prayer. And we were focusing on verse number 12. The Bible says the latter part of the verse, where many were gathered together praying. And we were talking about corporate prayer. And we said several things. We said, letter A, corporate prayer encourages unity. And we said it's hard to stay mad at somebody when you're praying for them and praying with them. We also said that corporate prayer encourages accountability, honesty, confession, transparency. And then last of all, we said that corporate prayer encourages visibility. And we said that our lives are changed by hearing and seeing other people pray. And we took a little time to talk about what others pray, say, or do can definitely have an impact on our life. Well, I want to switch gears just a little bit today. And I want to talk to you about this subject. We want to talk about not only the importance of corporate prayer, but the importance of constant prayer. The importance of constant prayer. Look, if you will, at verse number 5 again. The Bible says, Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made, notice these words, without ceasing. And I've got those two words underlined in my outline, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. That phrase, without ceasing, in the Greek means, basically it means stretched out or extended. And so very possibly this church, I believe this church had people praying around the clock. Or it could mean this. It could mean that the prayer that was supposed to end was extended. They just couldn't stop praying. Once they got cranked up, once they got praying, and of course they were very burdened for Peter and his safety and his well-being. And as they continued to pray corporately, the prayer was extended. It was stretched out, which is what that means. Now, let me make a statement this morning, and we'll go a little further here. When you get close to the Lord, the difficulty will not be finding enough things to say to God in prayer. The difficulty will be finding enough time to say everything you want to say. So, you know, every once in a while, I'll have people, by the way, I get it. You know what? When you're a newly saved and you're a new Christian, I certainly understand this. But I'll have people say, "Preacher, if I prayed more than 5 minutes, I'd run out of things to pray for." And so, you know, if you're a brand new Christian, I certainly understand that statement. I'm definitely not picking on that. If you're a brand new Christian, I'm glad you're praying 5 minutes. That's a blessing. But I would just say this. The more rehearsed you become in prayer, in the practice of prayer, we definitely find that in Acts chapter 12. The more at home you get in prayer, you know, you get to the place where you can't even really get cranked up good in 5 minutes. And so that leads me back to the statement that I just made. When you begin to get closer and closer to the Lord, the difficulty will not be finding enough things to say. The difficulty will be finding enough time to say everything that you want to say to the Lord. I remember many, many years ago when I was just getting started, and the Lord was just really, really starting to deal in my heart about the ministry and about preaching and things like that. And I'll be honest with you, some of that time I didn't even know the Lord was really beginning to deal, but he was. I look back now and I can see the hand of the Lord, and I know what the Lord was doing. Well, you've heard me say this. I used to mow the church for our yard, and I used to mow the yard for our church, get that in the right gear there. And so we were very familiar around the church. You know, here again, we sort of, you know, grew up around the church, and Dad, you know, taught us to be there and to just, you know, we would work on days when it wasn't a work day, you know, that kind of thing. And so we just knew things about the church that other people didn't know. So I knew how to get into the church. Even if you didn't have a key, I knew how to get in. And so now years and years ago, you didn't have to lock the church. There were churches that were just unlocked. You could just walk right into them. And churches did that on purpose. But now, you know, typically the church was at least locked. But there was a window at our church that always stayed unlocked. And you could slide that window up, and you could just slide into the foyer. We had this little tiny foyer, about like what we had down here at the old church. And you could just slide into the window, and you had access to the church. And so I would go over to the church sometimes, maybe to mow the yard or something like that. But before I started mowing, I would go to that foyer, and I would, you know, slide the window up, and I would slide into the window, and I would go into the auditorium there, and I would preach in the auditorium. And so we had these windows, these sort of like a yellow, they're almost like shutters. You could close the shutters up, and they were like a yellow stained glass type thing, you know, windows. And so our parking lot, UFOLA, our parking was over here on the right side. And so there was a set of windows you could open up right over here, and I'd open up those shutters. And that way you could see if anybody pulled in the parking lot. And so if anybody pulled in, well, I'd just act like I was vacuuming or something like that, you know, just cleaning up. And I didn't want them to know what I was doing. And so I would open up that set of windows. And we didn't have a big sound system. We just had one button. That's all you had. Just as long as you knew how to flip one button, you could work our sound system at UFOLA. And it was right here in the preacher's pulpit. And you just flip that little button up. And I would get up in the pulpit, and I would preach. You say, "Who'd you preach to?" Man, I preached to the mice. I preached to the pews. I preached to the carpet, to the songbooks. And don't discount that. We had great services. I mean, it was great services. And people would walk the aisle. And, I mean, folks would get saved. But anyway, I'm being a little facetious. But I also remember during that time, I remember many, many times just getting in the altar as a young preacher, and I would just get in the altar, and I would spend some time in the altar just praying. And very new to prayer, very new to spending time with the Lord. And so at times it was a little awkward. I'd get down there and pray at the altar. But, you know, the more and more and more I slid into that window and went to the auditorium and preached, and then I would spend some time at the altar. The more and more I got used to that, you know, one thing I noticed? I noticed the longer and longer I stayed there. And in fact, I can remember, even as a young man, I can remember getting in the altar and I would begin to pray about things. And then the Holy Spirit would reveal something else I needed to pray about, and I would pray about that. And then the Spirit of God would reveal something else I needed to pray about, and I would pray about that. And before I knew it, man, later on when I got up, I had been there for a little while, just praying and spending time with the Lord, and didn't understand all that. But I can just remember, I can remember getting up from the altar just thinking, man, that was so rewarding. I mean, there was just something about that time that I was spending with the Lord that was just, there was something about that that was fulfilling. There was something about that. And of course, I, you know, here again, I was so young and I really didn't even know what the Lord was doing. But I look back now and I know what God was doing. God was really beginning to do something in my heart. And I had no idea that years later that I would be a preacher, that I would be pastoring and preaching in a church. Dr. Tom Williams said it like this. He said, many Christians have a prayer time. Few Christians have a prayer life. We'll let that sink in just for a little bit. Many Christians have a prayer time. Few Christians have a prayer life. Well, that leads me to this first statement that I want to make today. Number one is this: every Christian ought to live in a state of prayer. Every Christian ought to live in a state of prayer. Now, let me show you some great verses today. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And as we work our way through the New Testament, we notice that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul challenges churches. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I want you to notice how Paul instructed the Thessalonican church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 16. Every Christian ought to live in a state of prayer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Paul says to the church in Thessalonica. So right now, you need to be in a state of prayer for your preacher, all right? Amen? Verse 16. Paul says to the church, rejoice evermore. We'll be in that state of rejoicing. But look at verse 17. He says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Somebody says, preacher, how do you do that? I mean, I have to work a job. I have kids. I have babies at the house. I have to prepare meals. I have to clean the house. I have chores. I have to mow the yard. How do you pray without ceasing? We're going to get into that in just a moment. Pray without ceasing. And then in verse 18, Paul says to the church, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. All right? Back up just a few pages and look at the book of Ephesians. So we notice what Paul says to the church of Thessalonica, but let's find out how Paul challenged the church of Ephesus. Ephesians 6, just a few pages back. Ephesians 6, and look at verse number 18. And Paul says to the church of Ephesus, Ephesians 6, verse 18, would you say the first two words with me? Ready? Praying always. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I tell you what, I'm going to give you two more references, but you're closer to Colossians. And so go forward just a page or two and look at the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. We see how Paul challenged the church of Thessalonica. We see how Paul challenged the church of Ephesus, but let's look at how Paul challenged the church of Colossae in Colossians 4 and verse 2. Colossians 4 and verse 2. Would you read the first three words with me? Colossians 4 and verse 2, the first three words. Ready? Continue in prayer. And then he said, and watch in the same with thanksgiving. But look at verse 3. Paul said, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. All right? Now I want you to turn back a few pages to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, and look at verse number 11. We notice that Paul challenged the church of Thessalonica to be in a state of prayer. We notice that Paul challenged the church of Ephesus to be in a state of prayer. We notice that Paul challenged the church of Colossae to be in a state of prayer. But I want you to notice how Paul challenged the Christians in the church of Rome, Romans 12, verse 11. Paul says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Read the last four words with me. Ready? Continuing instant in prayer. Isn't that amazing that Paul challenges all of these churches, all of these Christians, really something common here. He said, I want you to make sure that you are praying without ceasing, that you're praying always with all prayer, that you're continuing instant in prayer, that you're continuing in prayer. There's a common thread here. Paul said, I want you to be in that state of prayer. I want you to pray without ceasing. I want you to be praying constantly in communication with the Lord. It's what he's talking about there. Make sure that you're praying all the time, every day, all throughout the day. Make sure that you're in that state of prayer. Now, again, I don't know why I'm giving this illustration, but I believe the Lord gives me these things. I was just thinking about this. Have you ever noticed they refer to them as the SOF? Special operator forces in the military. We know them as Navy SEALs and Green Berets and Delta Force and different things like that. Have you ever noticed that these groups have apparatus that keep them in constant communication with the rest of the team? They don't even have to pick up a walkie-talkie. They've got apparatus. It's, you know, they've got these little microphones and all this stuff. And sometimes it's on their neck or on their throat, you know, that kind of thing. And they're in constant communication with their team members. Not only that, but have you ever noticed this? Headquarters can also hear the conversation that they're carrying on between themselves. And then I thought about this. Not only are they in constant communication with all the team members, they're in constant communication with headquarters, wherever headquarters is, but usually there are eyes on by way of a satellite. And so they've got some kind of a drone or satellite or something, and they're watching. They're not only hearing what these special operators are doing, but they are watching by way of a satellite. They're watching these soldiers as they go in, as they blow this door, as they catch this terrorist or whatever the case may be. Their superiors are watching the operation in real time. Now, what's that have to do with me, preacher? That's us as Christians. We are special operators. God is always watching over us. There's not a time when his satellite's not over us and he sees us in real time. Isn't that amazing, though? He sees us in real time. Isn't that amazing how nothing ever happens to this, and a day or two later, God gets the memo and says, oh, man, boy, that snuck up on me. Never happens with God. I mean, God sees our life in real time. There's nothing that doesn't happen to you that God knew it was going to happen. God sees it happening. You know, we don't ever come to the Lord and say, Lord, do you know this is going on? God says, of course I know. I not only know, I'm watching it. I'm watching it unfold in your life. Man, I'm looking down. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, the Bible says. And so the Lord is watching. And as the Lord is watching, you and I ought to be just like that special operator. We ought to be in constant communication with our Heavenly Father. Now, here's a question. Let's answer this question this morning. Why is it important that we live in a state of prayer. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. And so why is it important that you and I live in a state of prayer? Why is it that we make sure that we have our spiritual apparatus on and that we're constantly talking to the Lord, constantly we're bombarding heaven? Why is that important? Several things. Letter A is this. As we go through the day, we come in contact with things that need immediate prayer. That's why we're to pray without ceasing. Because as we're going through the day, we see things, we come in contact with things that need immediate prayer. What are you talking about, preacher? Have you ever done this? Have you ever met somebody somewhere, maybe at the gas station, maybe at the grocery store, maybe at the hospital, and the Holy Spirit said to your spirit, that person really needs the Lord. You ever met somebody like that? And you thought, man, those folks need Christ. You know what we're to do? We're to pray. Right then and there. Don't, you know what? Well, I'm going to pray for them. No, pray right then. Pray right then. And so if you're pumping gas at the island and there's a guy beside you and man, he's just going at it with somebody on the phone or going at it with his wife and man, they're just cussing back and forth or maybe there's tears being shed or, you know, it could be a dozen different scenarios, but you're thinking, man, that's so sad. That's so sad. Pray about it right then. Lord, save those people. Lord, save that person. Lord, would you work in their heart? God, would you save them? Lord, would you give them understanding? Again, we come in contact with things that need immediate prayer. They cannot wait for us to pray a day or two later. Pray right then. Because we're to be in constant, we're a special operator. Come on now. We're not just anybody. We're special operators. And as we see those needs, we ought to be telling headquarters about those needs. I thought about this. We talk about things that we come in contact with that need immediate prayer. How about this? How about emergency services? How about the EMS? How about the highway patrol? The rescue squad? Iron County Sheriff Department? We have law enforcement, you know, in our church. I mean, when an ambulance, you pull to the side and an ambulance goes by. Why don't you breathe a prayer about that? Lord, would you work in that? Lord, would you protect those people that are driving that ambulance? And then, Lord, wherever they're going, would you work in that situation? Would you save those folks? God, would you give healing where healing is needed? Man, when you see three or four law enforcement, you know, vehicles speed by you pray about that. Lord, would you protect those men? God, would you watch over them? Lord, would you bless them in that situation? Again, there are things that need immediate prayer. There are heavy-hearted people who need someone to pray. How about this? As you watch the news, boy, and I know we have to be real careful about our news consumption, but if you watch the news recently, well, there's a lot to pray about, isn't there? Have you prayed for Israel this week? Have you prayed? You know what? We ought to pray for Israel every day. Man, just pray. I mean, and then what, this week, I think three of the hostages were accidentally killed, you know, there's just so much to pray for. And then you know, we ought to pray for Israel. We ought to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, the Bible says. And we ought to pray that those Israeli people see that Jesus really is the Messiah and that they come to know faith, come to faith in Christ. And we ought to pray that God directs, you know, Benjamin Netanyahu and that God gives them, God gives them direction. But then, you know, on the flip side of that, you see the Palestinian people and you see their lost, lost condition. They're so lost. I mean, they're so lost. As they're following this Islam, these, you know, Islamic beliefs. You know what we ought to do? Man, we ought to pray for them, that God would save them. As you scroll through social media, boy, I tell you what, and you'll see a lot of Christians use social media for a prayer platform. At least a lot of the friends that I have on social media, I'll see them post prayer requests. Please pray for dad. Please pray for mom. Please pray for our children. And you can't scroll through social media without just saying, oh, Lord, blessing that. Lord, save those folks. Touch those folks. Lord, heal those people. Immediate. Those things can't wait. And boy, how many know this? There's always somebody that needs prayer. Yes. We were over back when Miss Janie's husband, Wayne, was in the hospital over at Iredale, and we were over there visiting with Wayne, and the door was open, and we were just, you know, visiting Wayne for a little bit, and we had prayer. We had prayer with Wayne. My wife and I were there. We had prayer with Wayne, and we said our goodbyes and stepped out. We stepped out of the room, and right across the hallway, there was a lady that came to the door, and she said, that was beautiful. She said, I heard you praying with that man. That was beautiful. And I could tell, you know, you could tell there was a need there. And we were like, would you like us to come and have prayer with you? Oh, would you do that? And so we stepped across the room, didn't even know these people from Adam, and just stepped across the hallway and just visited with them for just a little bit and had the opportunity to just share the love of the Lord just a little bit and have prayer with them. Why is it important that we live in a state of prayer? Because as we go through the day, we come in contact with things that need immediate prayer. But there's something else. Letter B is this. As we go through the day, we commit sins that need to be immediately confessed. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Take your Bibles this morning, if you will, and turn to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 28. And look at verse number 13 this morning. Why should we be in a state of prayer? Because there are things that need immediate praying about. We can't wait. We can't put it off for a day or two. Man, we need to stop. Pray right then. But not only that, but we commit sins that need to be immediately confessed. Now, why is that important? Well, look at Proverbs 28, verse number 13. The Bible says, he that covereth his sins shall not, what's the word? Shall not prosper. But thank God for the last part. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. I wrote this down in my outline. Don't wait until the end of the day. Don't allow your unconfessed sins to build up. I wrote this line down. Diffuse the bomb before it explodes. We're special operators. And so if you've got a ticking time bomb, man, you know how to diffuse it, diffuse it. Don't wait. Don't throw it in your trunk and say, I'll get to that later. Man, diffuse the bomb right then. And if you're going through the day, and by the way, truth of the matter is, this happens for every one of us every day. If you're walking in the Spirit, you know what happens? As you're going through the day, the Holy Spirit will say, that wasn't right. You shouldn't have thought that. You know you shouldn't have had that thought. Now, don't look at me so spiritual, all right? No. And you're not. You're not. And the Spirit of God will reveal things. He'll say, you shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have acted like that. You know what you do? Immediately, when the Spirit of God reminds you of that thing, confess it right then. Lord, you're right. Lord, you're exactly right. Lord, that thought was not Christ-like. Lord, forgive me for that. And Lord, help me to have the mind of Christ. Lord, I shouldn't have done that. Why did I blow the horn at that 85-year-old woman? I know that wasn't right. Come on now. I knew I shouldn't have rode on her tail. I knew that. I knew that wasn't right. I knew I shouldn't have stuck my fist out the window at that guy, you know. I knew I shouldn't have done that. Listen, if the Holy Spirit, if he convicts you about something, confess it right then. Diffuse the bomb right then and there. That's why we ought to be in a state of prayer. As we go through the day, we have things that need to be prayed about immediately. As we go through the day, we commit sins that need to be immediately confessed. How about this? Letter C. As we go through the day, we need to be immediately thankful. Immediately thankful. Listen, when God blesses, thank him right then. Because here's the problem. If you don't thank him right then, you know what's going to happen? You'll forget. You say, Pastor, I won't forget. Yes, you will. You will forget. Trust me, I will forget. Man, I will forget. My wife and I, it's the funniest thing going down the road, man. We'll be thinking about stuff we got to do. I'll say, honey, make a note. Make a note. Y'all ever talk to your phone? I'm not going to say, hey, Siri. But I'll say, hey, Siri, remind me. Remind me to do this, because I forget it. I'm telling you, I forget it. And I have to write stuff down and I have to make lists because I forget it. And here's the thing, when I'm going throughout the day and God blesses, you know what? I want to thank him right then, because if I don't, I'll get to the end of the day and man, sure as shooting, man, I'll forget to thank him for that thing. And I don't want to forget. And so that's why we're to stay in a state of prayer. Psalm 100, verse number 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. We read this a moment ago, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So every Christian ought to live in a state of prayer. Now, we don't have time to do this justice, but I'm going to give you the point anyway. There we go. Thank you, Brother Rick. Number two, every Christian ought to live in a state of prayer. Every Christian ought to experience a season of prayer. Now, what's the difference in a state of prayer and a season of prayer? Okay, we're in a state of prayer all throughout the day. Lord, please bless in that. Lord, please help that person at work. Lord, forgive me for that wrong thought. Lord, thank you for that blessing. Wow, thank you, God. You're so generous. You are so great. That's a state of prayer. We're in that state of prayer all throughout the day. And so we ought to live in a state of prayer, but every Christian ought to experience a season of prayer. Now, what's a season of prayer? What's the difference? A season of prayer is a time when you really don't do anything else but pray. That's why you went there. That's why you went to the prayer trail. That's why you went to the prayer closet. That's why you got in your car to drive, but you didn't have anywhere to go. You went there for a season of prayer. And you're just planning on doing nothing but taking a little time and spend some time in prayer. John Wesley, it was said that he rose every single day at 4 o'clock and prayed from 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. And somebody said to John Wesley, I am way too busy to pray like that. And John Wesley said, I am way too busy not to. Talking about that season of prayer, Jesus encouraged his disciples to be involved in a season of prayer. In Matthew 26, verses 38 through 44, you can read that later in your devotions. But Jesus said to his disciples, tarry ye here and watch with me. Let's just stay here for a little bit. Don't do anything. We're not here to eat. We're not here to fellowship. Let's just be here and let's pray. That's what he's talking about. And somebody says, preacher, how do you know that that's what he was talking about? Because in verse 40, Jesus came back and said, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Let me close with this. It's 10:30. Let me close with this. Listen to this. Philip Brooks made this statement. Do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be stronger men and women. Listen to this. Do not pray for tasks equal to your powers. Pray for powers equal to your tasks. Now, you'll have to go back and listen to that again to get that. But that's a great statement. Do not pray for tasks equal to your powers. Pray for powers equal to your tasks. Well, this is fitting concerning the picture that I was talking about earlier in the class that's in the atrium with Charles Spurgeon. Listen to this little story here. 5 young college students were spending a Sunday in London, so they went to hear the famed C.H. Spurgeon preach. While waiting for the doors to open to the London Tabernacle, the students were greeted by a man who asked, gentlemen, let me show you around. Would you like to see the heating plant of this church? They were not particularly interested, for it was a hot day in July in London standards, but they didn't want to offend the stranger, so they consented. The young men were taken down a stairway. A door was quietly opened, and their guide whispered, "This is our heating plant." Surprised, the students saw 700 people bowed in prayer, seeking a blessing on the service that was soon to begin in the auditorium above. Softly closing the door, the gentleman then introduced himself. It was none other than Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the heating plant. You know what the heating plant is for Calvary Baptist Church? That very thing, prayer, is the heating plant. You know what? God changes things through prayer, doesn't he? And so we ought to be in constant prayer. Not only corporate prayer, but we ought to be in constant prayer. Let's pray right now. Father, we love you. And thank you so much for this opportunity we've had together today. And Lord, thank you for challenging us concerning this thing of prayer. And God, I pray that you'll help us to be not only people of the book, but God, I pray that we would be people of prayer. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would use us to be prayer warriors. Couple that with your great mercy. And God, I pray that prayers would be answered at this church and that lives would be changed, souls would be saved, the kingdom would be built. Lord, the saints would be edified, the disciples would be multiplied. And Father, more than anything, we pray that Jesus would be glorified. I pray that you'll bless in the upcoming service. God, I pray even now that Lord, that the windows of heaven would be open and that, God, you would rain down a blessing upon us today. God, touch us not only spiritually, but Lord, touch us physically today and touch us mentally today. And God, I pray that you'd help us to be sharp. And Lord, I pray all that's done would please you well. Bless our fellowship now. I pray folks would come. I pray they'd not be discouraged by the weather. And God, I pray that if it might be your will, you'd fill this place up. And I pray that, Lord, you'd be pleased through all that's done. We love you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen.